Hey guys, second episode. Before we start, I'd just like to say a massive thank you for everyone that took the time to listen to our podcast.
We've had so many messages and heaps of feedback. It honestly means a lot. We hope you enjoy this next episode as much as you did the first one.
You are listening to the Truck Stop Podcast, brought to you by Arrow Cricket. Righto.
Oof. Fuck, how good is that sound?
How good is that sound? Everyone listening, we had a cheeky round of nine holes today.
Yeah, that was great for me, wasn't it?
Which was, we'll talk about later. I don't want to talk about it now. A
few tweets.
So our first guest for our podcast is Braden McGregor, a long-time mate, long-time dickhead. So starting straight off, we have a very good question. Shag, marry, kill. You've got Tiger Woods, Adam Sandler and Kim Kardashian.
There's two blokes in there.
Yeah, two blokes. I know. Well, it's 2022.
I'm marrying Tiger Woods.
Yeah, why?
Because, oh, mate, if I could have a dinner with anyone in the whole entire world, I reckon it'd be him.
Yep.
It's hard being. I'd kill Kim because she's so annoying. And then I'd shag Adam Sandler because he's a sick cunt.
Fuck. There you go.
It's hard. I'll pick the two blokes.
Adam Sandler, golf, ties in for today.
Yeah.
Great
work.
So, the golf bag. We'll get to our round later. But what's in the golf bag?
All right. I've got my favorite club in the bag is easily my pitching wedge. I've got Titleist AP2s.
Yep.
The driver is the Cobra.
Yep.
Which you gave
which
me.
Which I did give
you. The hazardous shaft, yep. Stiff.
Yep.
Swing hard. I've got the TaylorMade M3 hybrid. And then, yeah, irons go all the way down a pitching wedge to 3-iron. And then I've got a 56, 52, and a 60. The 60 is a Vokey SM8. That's probably one of my favorite clubs as well.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then balls, if you're going to look at balls, I'll probably TP5 still.
They end up
Pro
in
Vs.
The, end up in the water. Too much money as well. Right, going to get straight into it, okay? How did we meet?
Oh, actually, the first, I don't even know if you remember this. The first, I'm really good mates with Nathan Berry, NATO, and a lot of people around the Geelong area would know him and Shepparton area. I was playing COD with him when I was about year eight, I reckon. Year seven
what
or
COD?
Eight.
Go on, give us.
That was Black Ops back in the day.
Still talking to Whitney about Black Ops last time.
Xbox 360. Wasn't even on PS4 back then.
You were on Xbox?
We're both on Xbox 360. We're on the and yeah, I was with him, and then I heard you in the background. He was at your joint, and you were playing something. I was playing with him, or you might have been at his joint.
I was probably his.
That's the first time I ever heard about you. And then I reckon the year after that, obviously Central Park's and Brennan's dynasty,
absolute dynasty.
Just
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, and then you know, it all went from there. I reckon you know when we first met, I was a bit of a dickhead.
Fucking oath you were. You were a wanker.
We didn't really get on for the first probably year and a half, right?
No.
Like, we didn't really talk at all. And then I decided to, you know, pull my finger out and stop being a wanker.
Actually never met a bloke that's done more of a 180 in their whole life.
Yeah, no, I woke up to myself pretty quickly.
Oh, it was something else. It was actually something else.
I thought
else.
I was God's gift, you know, and obviously I'm not.
You pretty much are God's gift, though.
Nah.
You know what I reckon?
Actually,
I had a bit of a special guest ring today, and it was Chris Bang Up McKean, right? And he actually wanted to know if you could talk about yourself for 30 seconds. He wanted to know. He would just, what would you say?
What would I say about myself?
Myself, yep.
For 30 seconds.
He wants you to be as arrogant as you can be.
Oh, yep. Jesus. Yep. I don't want to be, though.
Why?
Because I'm not. I changed.
Bullshit.
I used to
this
be.
This is you.
Mate.
You literally just told me 10 minutes ago that if you had an Arrow cricket stick, that you would make 700 runs a year easy. You told me you've done it before. Cricket.
I mean, to be fair, if I did have that stick, I probably would make 700. I wouldn't even need it. It has a little button on it that just says hit me.
Hit me six. So do you think you can do your 30 seconds or not?
Look. If I could say about myself, I would talk about how I did used to be a dickhead.
Yep.
And I would say that I was an okay sportsman growing up.
Okay.
And that got to my head a little bit.
Yep. And so would you say...
Am I speaking in 30 seconds?
No, shush. I'm going to butt in. Would you say you were an okay cricketer back in the day to yourself? Or did you think you were the God's gift?
No, I didn't think it was God's gift at all. Because, you know, when you actually, when you think about it, back in like rep size, even in Shepherd and Rep, for example, we had a pretty good side. We used to both play against you, and we'll get into that story.
Yeah, I know. So.
But like, I used to bat like 9-10. Like, I wasn't even a good bat. And like I'd bat well juniors, like playing for, you know, Tallamore or whatnot. But when I went to Rep, I was normally just a bowler. And that was the same thing with Northern Rivers, anything like that. So I never thought that I was an absolute gun at all. But I don't know, it just came out of me when I was... It kind of got to me a bit.
Oh, no.
And then when I matured, when I was like, you know, 17, 18, then I knew that I'll
you dragged it in. I'll give you that. I will give you that.
Yeah, well, you know, self-awareness.
Pardon me. So taking it back a little bit, actually, about golf. I've got a question. What grinds your gears about golf?
Oh, mate.
There's so many things. Yeah, I know. Where do you start?
Well, I mean, like, first of all, to, you know, preface this whole conversation, golf is the best sport on planet Earth, and I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't really beat being out on the course, having some fresh air. Nice
you could
sun.
Have the worst day in history.
Like you today.
And go, no, and just go to the golf course in summer and hit the ball first tee down the fairway, and you can forget about everything.
Exactly. You know, you forget about your worries. So, first of all, love golf, but if you're going to talk about what grinds my gears, mate. Well, first of all, for example, we had carts. We had, mate, we got on there. That we had probably a hole advantage.
At least.
A head start. We got to the end of the hole one, and suddenly we've got to bank up the fucking three groups.
Oh.
The group of four who's got two carts is right at the front, doesn't let anyone through. We're at Barwon Valley. It's a public course. Like, great public course.
No, Royal Barwon. It's top 10. Top 10.
So, you know, Barwon Valley, like, surely just let people through playing some social golf.
Yeah.
Mate, slow play kills it. Like, it absolutely kills it.
And then, what about the bloke in front of us with the iron covers? Fucking on the Slazengers. The iron covers on the Slazengers.
Using pinnacles. Oh, man. Using a pinnacle ball.
Hit the ball, it's like a rock. That was something else.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, if you can talk about, like, on the kids, mate, slow play absolutely kills me. Like, I'm not going to say I'm the fastest player in the world.
No, you're not.
But, I make up for it by not fucking looking for my ball every 3 seconds.
That's
as well.
True. And these blokes were looking for their straight. Ball. To be fair, I was looking for my ball a bit.
Mate, you had a shocker.
Let's talk about the first tee. Like, got up there. Look, I'm not. Look,
two people looking.
Two people looking at me. Just went to the pro shop. Yeah, tee off time late in 2:30.
Capitulated.
Like, here we go. Right, I pulled the three wood. I said to Greggy, "This is my favorite club at the moment. First ball. If you ever been to Barwon Valley, straight in the graveyard. To the fucking straight to the left." Second ball, duck hook, right, water.
Just for a bit of context, at Barwon Valley, the left is the driving range. So if you go left off the first tee,
the graveyard,
you're gone.
Oh, no, there's a couple other
and
people.
And then, so, this is what happened. First one, left, into the graveyard. Right, second one, right, into the water.
Into the water. The best, though, Tim Arnell, playing with him, the graveyard, he named it. Every ball I think he hit for the first six rounds were there, straight in the driving range. And it's a graveyard. If you go in there and try and retrieve your ball, this ball's going to hit you in the head and you're dead.
Hey, what are you going to hit today?
Yeah, I know. That was a massive
so we're hit. We're at the other side of the... So the way it works on Barwon Valley on the first tee is that the hole wraps around the driving range. So the green is at the back of the driving range. You've got to go around to the left. I hit a pretty decent drive. I was over the driving range and some bloke literally has whacked one. Probably it would have been 250, 260 at least. Because the end of the driving range is 250 and he's cleared that. Hit the trees and missed us by, a couple of metres? Yeah. 3-4 metres?
I actually put the bad round down to not enough swing oil at the start, to be honest.
You're lubricated, mate.
If I was to play now, I'd be playing all right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, stingers, mate, putts, chips.
You don't drive a car without all.
No, exactly. What are you playing off at the moment?
GA would be, I think it's about 10.5, 10.5.
Not bad. Bit of a sandbagger, actually.
Me?
No. I know a few sandbaggers.
Yeah, I know plenty of them.
Plenty of sandbaggers.
If you look at I've got a mate, Craig Freeman. I don't know if you'd be listening to this, but he's a mate that I play at Box Hill with, mate.
Sandbagger?
He plays off 22. I reckon he's at least a 15, and he just wins comps.
No, going back to Tim Arnell, he plays off 37.
Yeah,
I mean, 37. I think he plays, and he should be off about 10.
Mate,
gives his handicap out to people that
old white line fever. Tim Arnell.
Oh, isn't he a unit?
Wait, should we talk about when he tried to bloody kill me back when I was a young kid?
Right, I will jump ship. Righto, go, give it to us.
So I'm 15 years old playing A grade back in Shepparton. It's my first year.
Arrogant. Arrogant as.
No, I was. Yeah. That was a bad time in my life. I'm not proud of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm batting. I went in night watchman. I was bowling at that point because I was just a bowler. I couldn't bat.
Yeah. Were you a bowler?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Yep, yeah, yeah, go on.
Sorry, it was night watchman. I went at number four.
Yeah.
And Tim Arnall used to be the big tearaway quick in the comp.
He was quick.
No, he still is. Yeah. He's a good bowler. But I'm 15 years old and he's, 21 probably, I would have thought. Probably 20-odd. Yeah. So he's a bigger boy. And we're at Central Park. I don't know, mate, if anyone's played at Central Park, the lowest, slowest wicket you'll ever meet, ever seen in your life.
Yeah, no offense to the curators, but fuck me.
Shocking, dude.
They're the worst decks you've ever played on.
Yeah, that's shocking. It's no fault of the curator, it's just the turf that's there. It's just no good. But anyway, so I'm out there, and I reckon about 3 to 4 times he's tried to bounce me, and I'm smaller. I'm probably 156 centimetres at that point. I'm real small. I'm getting under him. Yeah. I'm getting under him, and they're missing the wickets by like...
Probably not much.
A bales.
Yeah, like, yeah. Your helmet was below the top of the bales.
Yeah. Oh, mate. I still remember Tim Arnall after... I'm on like 3, and I'm a night watchman. Comes up to me in my face with a silly buddy square leg.
Yeah.
What do you call him?
Whatever. I don't know. A stupid person getting in front of a wicket. Why would you feel that?
You've got one there. You got a short cover here. And then Tim Arnall's in my face going, I'm going to fucking get you, mate. I'm going to get you. I'm 15 years old, shitting
myself.
You
actually think you have to ring the cops or you have to go psych after it?
Mate, I was absolutely shit. And that's the first experience I had of a team. I heard all these things about him being a tearaway. And I remember facing him. He was quick. And he was digging them in and they were getting up to about my hip height. And I was still getting
imagine it was a quick, bouncy wicket.
Oh.
What any difference?
Well, it probably would have went about 3 metres.
Yeah, you're probably right. True.
But that's, he's an absolute white line favorite. One of the best blokes I've ever met, though. Good bloke, but white line
favorite. Absolutely. Talking about cricket, so tell us, for everyone that's listening, we're all about interviewing the D-grade celebrities. We don't want to know about the people that are playing for Victoria. We don't want to know about the people playing for Australia. We want to know about the people that played country cricket. So what is the story of Braden McGregor and country cricket? Where did it start?
Oh, if you want the boring story, then, I grew up in Talamba, played at Talamba Cricket Club C grade when I was
Everyone wants to know where Talamba is. You don't need to know because there's fucking nothing there. Don't worry about it.
So I played there until I was 15 and then made the transition over to Central Park. Still played juniors at Talamba, but then played I was playing A grade at Central Park with you, me,
so
Riley.
So we both, we
Riley,
all went there.
All came at the same time.
Tim Kelly, shout out.
Yeah, Tim Kelly got us all over there. Rowan Larkin, they were both there with Larko. absolute legends of people got us over there. And then, look, they were already had 7 in a row at that point, didn't they?
It was something else, wasn't it?
So they dominated.
It was 7, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The players that are going through Central Park, you got Glenn Hart, Sam Armitt, Peter Holland, Rowan Larkin, just to name a few.
So we got three Vic country cricketers, a Victorian cricketer. Yeah.
Hamish Minter Irving was there during that period. He's
played
obviously a very good
second
premier 11s. Cricketer. Yeah. There's a lot of very good players. Probably missed out a couple as well.
Yeah, heaps.
And then obviously Tim Kelly.
Tyler
Larkin's played, very good cricket. And during that time, we were all there and we won. So they won 7 in a row and they lost 2 by memory to Cara.
No, didn't they lose 1? Wasn't it
7? I think they won 7, they lost 2 to Cara, and then we came back and won another 3. So when we came... We lost 2 with them, and then we won 3 with them. And that was our 5. That's my memory. I can't really... It's been a long time ago. It was 2014, 15, 16.
So next year's our reunion for the first one back.
No, not next year. Next summer.
Next summer.
Yeah, third to 2023, 24.
That game, you didn't play that first grand final against Carrick, did you?
No, I didn't lose one at Central Park. I only came... Because I was... Actually, funny story, Grumpy Kenner took his spot.
He did.
Yeah. So he was apparently retired.
Yeah. This is when you're a dickhead. So,
fair enough. I got to No shade at all to Grumpy. He's obviously a gun player.
Yeah.
And he obviously deserved to play. But got kicked out of that granny, which was good because they lost anyway.
So I was there.
I'm gonna say they because I wasn't involved. Yeah. I was Waterboy, so
you were Waterboy, you were there.
Yeah.
That's the day. Don't need mean to big nose.
First ball of the Are you talking about the first ball of the game?
I was talking about Braden Tracko.
Tracker. First ball of the game against Chris Keady.
Chris Keady. Oh, everyone doesn't know Chris Keady.
Probably the best country cricketer.
Bowl gas, hit bombs. Like, and he was a truck too. He was an absolute truck. You know what? He actually drives garbage trucks.
Does he?
For a living. Yep, in a Chuka.
What a legend.
He picks up like your bins. Like, he's your bin man. Anyway, he was an absolute truck and he steamed in. Never forget it.
I'll never forget this ball. Best ball I've ever seen in my life.
Go on, talk us through it.
Well, all right. So you got Braden Tracy there. He's a very good batsman in his own right. Yep. Very good player. And he's pretty young at that point. He's probably 22, 23. He's probably in his prime. He's very good bat.
Mm.
And he's sitting there. And this ball, like, first ball of the day, you got to imagine cricket finals is always played in a little bit colder conditions because it's kind of towards the end of the summer. It's getting, like, a little bit cold, like March. Was it March, April?
Yeah.
So it's a shit day in Shepparton, overcast, cold. Chris Key steaming in first nut. It's a back of a length, rears up, hits the top of the shoulder of the bat, straight up in the air, third slip, goal, and then one for none, first pill.
What is he?
In a grand final. And we're just like, mate, we're off.
6 foot four?
Yeah, six foot four. And
four or five?
Yeah. Bowl, and at that point, he was still bowling quick. Like, the years after that, he was just
slow. I've got a little funny story about the years after that. Poor Chris. Anyway, it just went downhill from there. I remember back when I was actually bowling, you used to think I was a tearaway. Was not a tearaway, but he's have a crack. I think I had 7 drop catches in that grand final.
Yeah, there was. And shout out Tim Kelly again. He dropped 3 of them.
Yep.
He fucking sucked that day.
I had Miley Liao drop Chris Keeney on the boundary line. And I.
Like, Tim dropped 2 at mid off. Like just lollies to mid off.
Ibo went on to make 140 and I had him. Yeah. Second ball.
So, no, that was the year before, though. That was we dropped all those catches when they lost. So, this one that we're talking about with Tracco, we actually won that game.
We did win that
game. So, we ended up making... Rowan Larkin came out and made, what, 60-not out or something.
Batting low.
Yeah. Real low. Yeah, he was batting like 8 or 9. Made 60 or something. And Chalks. Chalks batted with him.
Dan Christian.
Yeah.
Dan Christian.
A few Red Bulls.
Right.
So, we won that one because we made like 140 and then they just didn't make it.
Didn't we have it done by not even...
No. Sorry, I'm lying. No.
You are.
That's the one where we lost when Tracco... When that
that's
first
what I'm saying.
Ball,
first ball. Yeah. As I said,
when
just
you
went
were already
downhill.
Lose, yeah. Then Ibo made all those runs. Yeah.
He was...
Sorry. That's my bad. That's so long ago. That's like what? That's 2012, that was.
I've never seen someone nick the ball better than he did that day. He snicked it well.
Ibo, yeah. Yeah. Ibo, all credit to him. Obviously great innings, but yeah, he got a lot of chances. I think he got drops 8-9 times.
If he claims that as 100, like, he should ship off. No, you can't. He's all right. No, you can't say that.
Ibo's a fucking legend.
No, he's
he actually is he's a good bloke.
But what about, like, some of the stuff that used to happen at Central Park was crazy. Like, we talk about stories about country cricket and, like, everyone's like, oh, you know. But Leechville, for example, like, middle of nowhere.
Mm.
You hear about their B-grade having beers behind their legs playing cricket. And you're like, what world is that?
Yeah.
But then when we were coming through it, like 15, me, you, Riz.
We were basically training at a level of like state cricket. Like Rowan Larkin and Tim Kelly had very, very good standards. And that's the reason why they were so good. I mean, like, you know, we're playing country cricket, but they cared about it. And they had been at a level where it mattered. So
what about that day? We had a shocking day in the field. I'll never forget it. Adam Pye was over. We had the
the worst fieldsman of all time.
Oh, mate.
Sorry, Pye. Sorry,
yeah,
Adam.
Sorry, Adam.
Adam will listen to this, but, mate.
You're an absolute
probably
weapon.
The worst fielder I've
fuck,
played
you cannot with. Field. And I suck at fielding as well. But the thing that day was we had a shocking day. And Rowan, like, I'm driving from Moama. And he's like, leave the cricket bag at home. And I'm like, I meant to be playing a T20 for a Chuka. Moama. And I'm like, oh, g'day, Rowan. Like, oh, I won't be able to make it tonight. I'm playing a T20 for Moama. He's like, you have to come. And I was like, what? Rang up Moama. I'm like, I can't play cricket.
Well, marquee player, Rowan.
Marquee player. I'm like, cheers. Like, I'm going to fucking
three. I'm gonna walk
out of my doorstep and go play cricket at Moama. I now have to drive an hour to cricket training to Shep.
I don't know how you guys did that.
He goes, don't bring your bag. Don't bring your bat. Nothing. Just turn up with your runners and a towel.
And I still remember that was 2 hours on deep end in 40 degree heat.
Oh, and hot. Mate.
It was so hot.
Hot. During the year, like, this is not even at Christmas break, and he gets us out there, and, like...
We're doing footy drills. Like, we're
for
genuinely
2 hours.
Doing footy drills. And I don't know if anyone, like, if you haven't been to Shep before, it's, like, dry heat. Like, you can feel the sun going through your fucking skin. Like,
I crack the shits now when Tom at our club now goes, oh, we're going to do 15 minutes of field. I'm like, oh, bullshit. Like, just let me go home. Like, a bit of latent time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sick of this shit. I
just
want
to go home and give Witt a cuddle.
Oh, buddy. Witt a cuddle. I've had a bat in the nets. I've been wanged off for an hour and a half. Let me go home. Bitters is there wanging people off. Me and Bristol usually. But anyway, we fielded for 2 hours.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And I nearly drove home. And I was like, So where am I pulling over for
a sleep? I will say, though, that is the year that we won our first out of three.
Yeah, we did.
So,
we did.
Mate, they know what they're fucking doing. Tim Kelly and Rowan Larkin.
Yeah.
The best in country tour. They know what they're doing.
So talking about that, so how old are you now?
24.
So how many first 11 flags have you played in for cricket?
Oh, yeah. Like, are we talking two-day flags?
Two-day, one-day is T20s. We're
going to do everything.
Yep, we'll do everything.
Yeah, right. Well, at Central Park, we won 3 in a row.
So you've got 3 2-days.
3 2-days, which, you know, Haseman Shield.
Haseman Shield, big deal.
Yeah. And then that, I'm pretty sure we won every 1 day those 3 years as well. Like,
so
I don't see
six.
Us losing.
That's
yeah.
six.
And then 2020s, it was a bit of a piss take back then. It used to be like a pre-season comp, so I don't think we took it serious. I don't know if we won those.
But I remember winning the T21s on Thursday nights. Remember the lights went out at Deakin?
Yeah, that was after, though. I reckon that was after those 3 years.
Was it?
Yeah. Let's just not talk about 2020. I mean, 2020, true. Like, in the country leagues, I don't know, like, if you don't play cricket, it's a bit of a piss take having the 2020 comp.
Yeah.
They've made it better these days, where you're playing it during the week. Like, Geelong does it really well. Geelong Cricket Association.
Well, it hasn't been in for, 2 years, but...
Mm. Usually, like, when it was going good, like, through the week, you're playing a Thursday... And then, you know, you get all the club members around you because they've trained and whatnot. That's a great way to have it. But, you know, if you're talking about, yeah, so I reckon probably six there.
Six first 11 ones.
Yeah. And then, we had 3 on and then we lost to Katandra, didn't we? We don't want to talk about that.
That was bad.
That was shocking.
Actually, I've got a story about that coming up later on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later then because I don't fucking talk about that, yeah.
I've actually, if I'm going way back to where you started at Talamba, Talamba used to play in what grade? Or what?
C grade. They had a B for a couple of years.
Yeah.
When Dad was in his prime.
Dad.
Cam used to be a good cricketer. He still plays yeah. There at C and B grade.
What is he, 90 something? Or he's all right. He's all right.
Say to his face.
Yeah, no. He's probably whacking.
He's a good cricketer. He basically was the president and coach and everything at Slam Cricket Club. And there was, you had 3 grades there. Like, it was a pretty decent club. Like, he didn't play A grade or anything because we didn't have like the top stars, but that B grade. I remember 1 year they actually amalgamated with Northern as Tally Grootner in just for the T20 comp.
Yeah,
the B grade in the AB. They used to have A B grade 2020.
Was that
comp.
Before we were there?
Yeah, way before. So this is when I was 8 years old, right?
Yeah, right.
And they had you had Steel Sidebottom playing for them, like, you know, all the Sidebottoms.
Yeah.
They actually played against Central Park in the grand final and nearly beat them. Like, and that was when they had Sam Armit, Glenn Hart, Rowan Larkin,
the boys.
Hamish Winter Irving, all the guns, and they actually nearly beat them. So I think Central Park made 180, and then we need to chase them down. I think it was 160. I still remember it was Deakin Reserve. So Talamba was at its prime. Like, it's had good players there, but just playing B grade, like B, C's. I only ever played C grade there, because that's why I moved Central Park, because I was probably getting a little bit, I was too old for kind of playing C grade and whatnot. No premierships there. We've had premierships in the under 16s.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, we beat old students who were the stalwarts of the junior college.
Old students.
In Sheldon.
No, but what I was getting at was there used to be a prison that used to play in the cricket competition, Darangold Prison.
In the D grade. That was my first ever senior game.
Can you talk me through the prisoners? Like,
right.
So, were you playing against murderers, drug dealers? What are you playing
not
against?
Not necessarily, no. That's saying a bit far. Yeah. So, the Darangold Prison is a low security prison who holds inmates that...
It's a farm.
Yeah, they're essentially coming to the end of their sentence. If they're going a long sentence, that means they're low security. They're not really a risk. They might have been might have got done for murder or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, they have a cricket team. And my first ever senior game was playing D grade against Darangold Prison at Darangold Prison. My first ever...
So you played inside the prison?
Inside the prison, yep. And mate, no shit, I still remember... Some bloke whacked a 6 and it was in like this little forest that goes like near the edge of like the perimeter. And no shit, when the guy went to go fetch the ball, the warden had to go with him. Like, say, have a warden that goes with him.
Yeah.
Because they thought that he might fucking jump over the fence and off he goes. Because there's literally a fence stopping them from the cricket ground to the road and off they go.
So Banger's got a mate that used to be in Darangold, right? And so anyway, he's goal umpire, never forget it, because they can get out, can't they? And they can go do stuff.
Yeah, so they have to be with a warden in a van.
So you're doing goal umpiring at Tukey United.
Mm.
Anyway, he's got a bit of his ear missing. And I'm like, what, 10 years old? And I'm like just staring at his ear. I'm like, the fuck? Anyway, get in the car after. Dad goes, oh, did you notice his ear? And I said, oh, yeah, I did. What happened? He goes, oh, when he was in prison, it got bit off. And I was like, geez, that's humming. That fucking going.
He must have gotten a biff.
Yeah, must have. Righto. So, talking about cricket, back end of cricket, there's this thing that I have been calling when you have a bad run, you don't make any runs, can't take a wicket, cricket depression.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
It happens to a lot of people in country cricket.
Oh, mate. Unless your name's Tom Matheson.
Yeah.
Just dominate.
Michael Zalski. But what happened? Like, cricket depression, like, it's a thing. It is definitely a thing.
I'm an absolute, like, it's happened to me multiple times. I mean, to be honest, it actually didn't happen to me until I came to North Geelong, so it's North's fault.
North's fault. So to be fair, I've got cricket depression from North as well. Maybe it's just...
Never had cricket. When I was playing at Miami, I had a shock in you. Never had cricket depression. I loved it.
Yeah, but that's because we just carry it on.
Mate, Miami was a sick year. Anyway, we'll keep on.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Like, mate, let's be completely honest. Everyone who doesn't play cricket, like, you got to imagine you work all week.
Yeah.
You know, you work 40 hours. You're fucking exhausted. You wake up on a Saturday morning. You're all happy. Yeah. Excited.
It's summer.
You do your nervous poos.
The birds are chirping.
You really love gosh, yeah. Yeah, so, like, you know, you wake up, you're happy. You go, we're batting first. You're at number three. Life's good. The fucking opener goes out for nothing.
Which is
you're out awesome. There. You're out there fucking one for fuck all. You cop an absolute shocking decisions. Going down leg.
Left-hander, not out.
You're walking off and some dickhead from Fine Leg says, put on your flip-flops, champion. And then, mate, you're in the fucking shed watching the boys make. I remember one time that exact thing happened to me, and I watched you make 100 afterwards, and I wanted to fucking kill
where
myself.
Was, which 100 was that? Where...
It was actually, you want to know, it was Kuma.
Kuma, yeah. Kuma. Do you want to talk about that?
No.
Come on, can you explain to the listeners?
We'll talk about Kyle Fire Brigade if you want.
No, we'll talk about Kuma. So, if I remember correctly.
Wait, are we talking about cricket depression?
Nah, we'll go. Yeah, all right. We'll talk about cricket depression. Yeah, go
because
on.
No, it's important.
It
like,
is. It is. It
people,
is.
People like let's actually spread awareness because like it is
absolutely
it is a thing.
No serious.
And like, mate, and it's I actually probably half caused me to not play cricket last year. I took a year off to play a bit of golf. Best sport on planet Earth.
We've talked about this. I think so. Your country cricket club might have a trainer, a physio, or something like that. I think that you should have a psychologist.
I agree.
In country cricket.
I agree.
How many people do you see training, dragging the bottom lip along the ground with gravel rash?
And not only is it like cricket depression, like some people actually genuinely are down in the dumps. So I might be going through a hard time. Like, going to go serious.
Yeah.
It's like, and then it only adds to it when you're fucking playing like shit. Like, that, look, cricket's normally the thing that brings you up. But like, sometimes it can be the thing that's helped. Like, it's assisting in you not feeling very good at all.
The feeling when you just walk out there and the ball will just hit your bat and goes for six or four. Best feeling ever. But what about when you walk out there and you think, I am a walking wicket?
Mm. That was like me around 3-7 in my first year at North. Just couldn't make a run. A couple of bad decisions, you know, a couple of bad wickets, you know, off you go. Like, and look, sometimes it's out of your control. Like, you're a good cricketer. You're an okay cricketer, but you just, you know, cop a good pill.
Oh.
It's, you know, it's bat versus ball. So, but cricket depression, mate, like, it sucks.
You can have golf depression. But cricket depression's worse.
No, but the thing is, golf depression is... So, like, golf depression isn't really a thing because you feel golf depression instantly when you have a bad shot or something.
Yeah.
But as soon as you hit a good shot, because you have second chances.
Stinger.
Cricket, you don't have second chances.
No.
You're done.
Nah.
So, like, you can have that depression for a whole week thinking about how you went out in the weekend. Whereas golf, you just go out the next day, hit a birdie, and suddenly it's...
Best game in the world.
It's the best.
You're on top of the world.
Just like when I had a couple today.
Yeah. I didn't hit any today at all. Tweet, tweet. But yeah, as you were saying, cricket depression is like, like last year pre-season, I got to the club and I'm like, you know what, I just don't want to play cricket.
Mm.
And I remember messaging. I'm like, you know what, let's go on the tour, let's play golf, let's play golf, let's go on the tour, let's join LIV.
Yeah,
like that is us. Like I was just like, I'm not playing cricket. Like this is, and you know what, the same thing is about footy. Like, the idea of playing footy, strapping the boots on, uncorking genies from 50, Like, that appeals to me.
It does.
It does. But you know what does not appeal to me? Going to training on Tuesday and Thursday when it's 3 degrees, raining, I've got to wear short shorts. And obviously, I wear a long sleeve because sleeves are king.
No, just wear some skins with no shorts, mate.
Oh, see that?
Get the budgie out, mate.
Ridiculous. And you got to wear your beanie, and then you try and hide behind the blokes that are wearing singlets and shorts in front of the line.
No, you're spot on. You're spot on.
It's just a load of shit.
You're spot on.
But, yeah. Talking about footy, though, we played footy against each other a fair bit.
We did. We did. I didn't know you at that point. I still don't know. I didn't know you because we were playing, what, under 14s, under 16s against each other?
Yeah, but how did you not know? Like, there was so many goal-kicking awards.
I remember the first time I actually realised who you were was when you... So I played for Tatcher, and anyone who doesn't know Tatcher at juniors, we fucking sucked.
No, they were pretty... For this story's purpose, they were pretty good.
We got beaten by 150 to 200 each week.
Yep.
We're playing against a Tuca who renowned as probably the best side in the league.
Yep.
Leighton's just riding on those coattails, thinking that he's a fucking jet.
Power forward.
He kicks 7 against us in the thirds and then goes into the reserves and kicks another 8. So he kicks 15 for the day, keeps going. You've turned into... You wouldn't be able to do that. Your own capacity is nowhere near that now.
No, no way.
Imagine you play two games of footy.
No. I wouldn't be able to wake up for 3 days. I was doing a landscaping job the other day. Shout out to Jim's Mowen, landscaping as well. I was laying some turf.
Shout out to Lockie Hyde.
Lockie Hyde, yeah, good on him. He's actually not working at the moment because he's done a heart string.
Yeah,
I was bending over, putting nails in a bit of fake grass, and like my gluteus maximus and my hamstrings
are
on fire. Like absolutely on fire.
Mate, it's hard work.
It is.
I'll landscape for a bit. I had a day with you.
You did.
What did I do at Elmore?
So if anyone doesn't know Elmore, right, you got the Elmore BP, right? We not even know anyone from Elmore BP.
No sponsor. This is a plug, just because if you ever go through Elmore, get to the BP.
Everyone says, oh, the bakery's so good. No, the bakery's shit.
Bakery sucks.
Go to the Elmore BP, go in there and look at the Bay Marie, and like emojis start popping up out of the Bay Marie. It's like just love heart eyes and like this, like, you know, like little 3 drops. You know what that symbolizes? That is coming out.
The cucumber. Oh, no, what is it?
The cucumber. I don't know what it is.
Eggplant.
But anyway, the what? The eggplant. Yeah. Producer Whitney says eggplant. Anyway, we get to the Elmore BP and I'm on the drive and I've got Greggy, was Darcy Ali?
No, it was me and you all day.
It's me and you. So anyway, I'm pulling for smoke.
Darcy went with Turtle. Shout out Turtle, Brad Jones.
Jones Landscape and Garden Maintenance.
Yeah. If you're in a Turtle and you need a landscaping job, Brad Jones.
Pull in there. Greggy's eyes light up, Bay Marie.
I've never been there before that, by the way. So when I walked in there, it was a fucking good surprise.
So you picture your chicken cinny bird, like anywhere else in Melbourne, you might get what? You can finish it in 3 bites, right? At Elmore, it takes 15 bites. Greggy looks at him and thinks, fuck, I think I need 2 of these. He gets 2 of them. What else do you get? 2 dimmies.
2 dimmies, couple of potato cakes. I think they had the fried scallops. You love the fried scallops. Couple of fried scallops. We've already gone through the dimmies. Got the fucking bacon burgers where they were.
How much did you spend?
It was $38.
$38 on one meal. And I'll never forget it. He's got 1 burger in the left hand. 1 burger in the right hand, he's going alternating between bites, left, right. He ate it from Elmore to Echuca to the next job, which is 40 minutes. And that
took me the whole 40 minutes.
And then he sat on a ride-on for like 30 minutes.
The ride-on couldn't get going.
He looked like John Daly sitting back in on the ride. Oh, mate, I was fucking in hysterics.
That was a great day of work.
Got great paid day. For it. You spent your pay...
At the OBT. At the Yank.
Yes. That no, day. He spent it at Elmore Bakery first. And then we went to the Yank, which is the American in Chuka.
A couple of Wirrupundas.
Wirrupundas, yes.
VCRs, by the way.
VCR, but Wirrupundas. Don't know why they're called Wirrupundas.
I know what they're called. Do you want to hear the story?
I'll hear the story. Yeah, go on. Actually, you know. No, yeah, but I know
the reason
how
why they're called Wirrupundas. I don't know if someone's going to come out and say, nah, you call them, I'm the reason they call them. But, mate. I'm telling you, I heard a story from a bloke down in Warrnambool.
Yeah.
He goes in the pub and he goes, hey, mate, like to a random bartender. He goes, hey, mate, can I have a couple of Bob Coke Raspberries, VCRs? and no shit, like, you know, this is hearsay. This is some other, like, I don't know if this is true, but this guy comes
it
from
is,
the back.
It is true.
It's true for the purpose of this story.
Yeah.
Comes from the back and he goes, "You will never call these VCRs ever again. These are called David Wirrapundas." And it was David Wirrapunda. Comes out from the back and says, "These are Wirrapundas." My mate's telling me this, and I'm like,
"Oh,
all right, no, no shit." And then I brought it to Echuca, and mate, it's caught on.
Yeah, the Wirrapundas.
Whereas,
I have not had a Wirrapunda for ages.
Speaking of drinks,
don't you love that sound? Anyway, shout out to Bendigo Pale Ale,
mate,
which is Brooks Brewery. They are sponsoring us in the podcast, so
great,
giving them a massive shout out.
Oh, mate, great beer.
One of Fee's mates,
yeah.
Fiona McCann, obviously, and mum.
Can we just talk about Fee for a second?
We can talk about the fam, for sure. What do you want to start with?
So, Leighton's parents,
yep.
Fee and Banger,
yep.
Probably the best people I've ever met in my life.
Jeez, mum will love hearing that.
Mate. Well, mate, she is a superstar. You know that.
Yep.
Whit knows that. Whit loves her.
Yeah.
No, Fee's an absolute superstar. And I do actually need to give a bit of a thank you, because the amount of times I've stayed at your house and not paid a cent, I've just gone up there, the bed's made for me.
But you know why mum likes you staying?
Why?
It's because when you leave, you make the bed to her standard. You know what she used to say? Greeny makes a bed like a girl. It's great. So she used to say.
You tell that, because I don't fucking make it at home.
Oh, God. Anyway, honestly, they used to put you up every week for about...
I would say at least 100 stays.
You could stay as long as you want or as short as you want.
No, they're led very, very hospitable people. Great country people. Moama, Jacana Ave.
Yeah.
Beautiful spot. God's country out there.
Going on from that, I rang Banger today. And we're talking about mowers.
I need to give Banger a ring.
He loves his cylinder mowers. And he's like, we're talking about his Scott Bonners and whatever. And he's bored about, he's got, no joke, 9 of them, right? And he I think he thinks he knows what's going on.
He loves his lawn. Ave is kept very well.
Great lawn. Sat down on a couch. Loves it. But I said to him, we're making a podcast, me and Whit. And we've got a guest on. Can you have a guess who it is? And he goes, it's not the Coke can, is it? and I said, what do you want to ask the Coke can? Anyway, he goes, ask him how he got the name Coke can.
Right. Did I give it to myself?
No, Dad gave it to you because obviously Greggy used to be this like stick. Like
athletic
prowess. not... Shout out like Braden McGregor on Instagram. Have a look at him. Scroll through. You have to scroll back.
Actually, that's true. There's probably like the third photo. Yeah. I reckon the photo of me playing footy.
Skinny.
And I was Shreddo Frog.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking good. No, I'm a young kid, but I've got no muscle.
Yeah, but anyway. So as time went on, Greggy developed his beer belly. He got, like, as we all do, like, I've had a blowout. He's had a blowout.
And I saw groin.
Yeah. Everyone talks about OP. OP is like just a myth. And Greggy reckons he's got it.
It is. I've used it for so long.
What do you reckon? You went from about 55 kilos with a six pack in a year and a half to...
I'll stop you there. I was 75. I will say I was 75. And then when I decided to have a crack, have a beer and not be a fuckwit.
Yeah, fag. Yeah.
I did turn a bit fat, but I'd trade the fat for not being a fuckwit any other
week. True. And you know what? I'd trade it for you as well.
Yeah. I mean,
anyway,
I like me how I am now.
So anyway, Greggy, if you can picture a Coke can, like a 375ml one, Dad reckons that Greggy is built from his toes to his head like a Coke can.
No curve.
No curve. Straight up and down, thick.
He's spot on. He's done
thick.
So well.
And he loves it. What about every time he sees you? Coke can. And he loves it, doesn't he?
Oh, mate, Banger is, shout out Banger.
Yeah, they love it. Mum and Dad do love it. And growing up with Mum and Dad, never got turned 18. It was like real weird, eh? They were making me like come home early, do this. I think they were trying to look after me. But after that, it was like...
They're your best mates.
Oh, 100%.
Mate, they're very good people. You're very lucky to have them.
Saturday nights, how many people were at our house having beers?
Actually, you know what? I'll tell one story. The only time I've ever seen Banger raise his voice.
Oh.
You know this.
Well, yeah, I do.
So the dynamic of the McCann household is that Fee and Banger both sleep upstairs. So it's very hard to hear anything. And one day we've come home. with probably, I'd say 12 to 13 people. I don't know who they were. I mean, Riz was there.
No, mum wasn't there.
Yeah, it was only Banger. That's what I'm saying. So Banger's upstairs, he's sleeping. Probably got work then. I don't know. He probably didn't have work. Probably Saturday night. But anyway, I've never heard Banger raise his voice. The nicest guy I've met in your life. And we were just obviously obnoxious. She would come out at 3 a.m. from OPT. Like, fuck. If you know what OPT is in a sugar.
Shout out to OPT.
We're lights on at OPT.
Roll the carpet.
Oh, mate. We've come home. And Riz, just being the dickhead that he is just making an absolute idiot of himself.
Yeah.
Shouting, being an idiot. And Banger comes down.
Oh.
It was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
In his jocks?
Yes. That's probably what that was. Yeah. Mate, the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life comes in and he just goes, Riz, I've always said you're a dickhead. Shut up. I'm trying to sleep. And then he points at me and he goes, Brayden, oh, I thought you were better than this. I still remember this. Mate, he goes, I thought you were better than this. Or he says something along those lines. He's like, I thought, you know, better of you and I shat myself. I went back to bed and I was like, fuck.
Disappointed, eh?
But then the next morning,
he was fine.
He's searching up my cricket and he's all good.
On the laptop, eh? On the computer. He's got those glasses from the $2 shop sitting on his nose.
He loves it.
Oh, he honestly does love it.
What a sick guy.
Oh.
Love it.
So I was speaking to Mum today and I told her that you were coming on the podcast and she said to me,
Leighton, you've got to ask him about the tooth. For those who don't know, Greggy is missing a tooth. And it's his front one. And when he talks about getting proposed to Dakara, he proposed with one front tooth. The other one is gone, missing.
Shocking time.
Mate, it looks...
Literally happened a week before.
You know what? We're going to put the photo up on your Instagram. Like, we are. Absolute pisser. So, mate, Fee. She had to fit again. She goes, number one listener, honestly.
Number one ticket holder.
Ticket holder, legend. She goes, ask Greggy about the tooth and the Yarra River.
Mm. Oh, shit, I forgot about this.
Yes.
I told her about this.
Yes. Can we please start at the start how you lost it?
All right. We'll start how I lost the tooth.
Yep.
We got a mate, Jack Thompson, who's from Echuca. Shout out, Tomo.
Shout out, Tomo.
Maybe not shout out, Tomo. You're the fucking reason I haven't got a tooth in my head.
Nah, shout out, Tomo. He nearly died in Bali with me, Whitney. All right, no idea. Anyway, that's another story.
We love Tomo.
Yeah, love Tomo.
Absolutely love Tomo.
Yep.
So I'm out with Ben Walker, another friend of the podcast. Absolute legend.
One of your groomsmen as
Yes. So, put in context, Leighton's obviously my best man.
Absolutely.
Ben Walker is one of the groomsmen. My brother Jordan McGregor is also one of the groomsmen. However, we're on a night out with Tomo, Ben, and myself.
Bad news. We're at
the joint bar. So,
what a venue!
Good joint. Used to be a Backpackers. It's better. It's clean.
Is it better now?
No, it used to be better. It used to be like it depends what style you want because it used to be
the dirtier the better.
So it used to be better. Yep. Cheap. Now it's a bit more classy. It has, you know, pink background on the fucking bar.
Yeah, right.
And, you know,
pool table's still there?
Yeah, still got pool table. Anyway, we're at the joint bar. So it's corner of Flinders Lane and Elizabeth Street.
Yep.
So it's right next to Flinders Street Station. It's quite easy to get onto.
Great joint.
We're there. We're just having a good time. A bit of a boogie on the dance floor. I'm not even paying attention to anything. Anyway, I look over and Tomo seems to have got himself in a bit of a scuffle. And I'm like, what's
and
going
Tomo,
on
like,
here?
What is he? 50 kilos, 60 kilos. Yeah.
Without degrading the bloke, like he's not the biggest guy in the world.
No.
And when he gets drunk, he loses a little bit of motor skills. Like he's quite, he can't defend himself. So what I've thought, I've looked at him in a bit of a scuffle, and I'm like, fuck, all right.
He's in strife.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right. Ben probably should have stepped in. 6'4", big boy. But instead, he's let his 5'10" fucking mate me.
The cocaine.
I've gone and I've just separated him.
Oh.
So what he's done allegedly is he's dancing with this girl and her boyfriend's come over.
But it doesn't sound like Tomo.
No, it doesn't. So I will say to this day that girl was obviously dancing on him because he never makes the first fucking
move. Nah.
Anyway, so you know, whatever's happened. The boyfriend comes over, he's a little runt, he's a little fucking cockhead. Got tats on his neck, bald, just absolute derelict from fucking Dandenong, wherever he's from.
Anyway, I've kind of got in the middle. I've pushed him away. I've gone, mate, I'll take my mate. I'm sorry, whatever he did. Like, you know, he can't control himself. I'm sorry about that. And I've got my hands up next to my head. And I'm like, mate, all right, see you later. And as I'm doing that, he's fucking just whacked me one straight down the middle. Front tooth out. Like, literally, you know.
You found it.
I can't remember. I caught it.
Yeah.
I don't talk shit. Like, he's punched it and I felt something happen. And as it's gone into my mouth and kind of come out again. And as I've like kind of caught it in my hand, I'm like, fuck. I put it in my pocket and all I do, I look up and without, you know, incriminating anybody, a certain friend has picked the bloke up, put him on the ground and, you know, he's laying a few into him, obviously protected me.
Yeah.
I don't know who that bloke was. Might have been a friend, might have not have been a friend, who knows.
But me and Witt were in Melbourne that weekend.
Yeah.
And we caught up with you.
Yeah, you caught up with me after the fact.
And Greggy's got, by this stage, he's obviously got his tooth in a Ziploc bag.
Shout out to the manager that night at the
joint bar.
He sorted out some milk for me, a Ziploc bag, put the tooth in there.
So Greggy's where do we go? Crown.
Yeah.
Greggy's held up this Ziploc bag. It's got milk in it with his tooth. And he's there slapping the pokies on the
other side.
Jakara, right? Like, legend. And you rang her. Oh, look, my tooth. He's got a little lift going on at the moment. Anyway, she goes, Brayden. Anyway, what did you do? You went to him.
So I said, Jakara, it's like, because it didn't hurt for the first 2 hours. I was too drunk. I didn't know.
So what did you say?
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
So I've called her. I'm like, it's starting to hurt. Like, you know, my tooth's out.
Snapped off.
Like, my front tooth has been snapped. Like, it hurts. And then she goes, I'm coming to pick you up and we're going to the fucking emergency ward right now. So we went to Alfred. They gave me a few endones. Shout endone. Gave me a few endones.
You needed it.
And they gave me one to take home. Went home. Had another one. Went to sleep. Then in the morning, went to the dental hospital. They like pulled everything else out. Put a filling over it. And then since then, you know, I've got a little fakie in there. And
here's
Bob's your auntie.
But what? Getting back to the story.
Oh, the story. Fee, I didn't know if you had this.
Well, I don't know.
This is not a good story.
I think
for me.
I might have told her. Anyway. Did you?
I remember telling her now.
Right. Well, can you just tell everybody else the story?
Right.
Just cut it like pretty short.
Yeah, I'll cut it pretty short. All right. So we're on the Esplanade on South Bank, looking over the Yarra.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Beautiful. If anyone knows, like near kind of like the opposite of Arbery afloat. Essentially.
Yeah.
So there's like a concrete pillar, and you're kind of like there, and we're having we bought a few like takeaways. From the joint bar again. It was like a couple of months later. From a joint bar, took a few takeaways.
You've had a couple.
Oh, mate, I've had a few.
Gassed.
I'm sitting on this little pillar and with a couple of mates. We're having a few drinks, trying to get a few in before we go to Crown because like beer prices there are ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're all like, oh, fuck, feeling a bit sick. So I have a couple of birds.
No good.
I've just thrown up. Like, I've gone straight over the side near the water. No good at all. And I've thought nothing else of it. So I was thrown up for a couple of 30 seconds. And I'm like, all right, boys, we're good to go. Like, you know,
let's go.
Feeling good.
Let's go.
We walk probably 200 meters down. And I'm talking to Peter King, which is one of my best mates. Yeah, Peter. Work with him. And I'm talking to him. And I'm like, yeah. Hey, I just don't know what I was saying. And he goes, where the fuck's your tooth? And I'm like,
oh, no.
What? I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, mate, your tooth? And I'm like, fuck. So I'm like, did I put it in my pocket? It's like, and then one of my other mates, Riley Dallahunt, literally looks at me and he goes, you're throwing up back there, do you reckon? And I'm like, no, there's no fucking way. I've gone back there and no shit, I've looked down at my spew about 10 meters down from this pylon where we were.
Yeah.
And my tooth is in the middle of this fucking spew.
Oh.
I've thrown it up.
Did you go pick it up?
Yeah, I went down the stairs.
Did you wash it or just put it straight back in?
Well, I had no water.
You just chucked it straight back in, you dirty bastard.
Well, mate, it's already in my mouth.
Oh.
Yeah, that was not
the Yarra. The Yarra's clean too.
Yeah, so clean.
Yeah, that's
it. Wasn't in the Yarra. It was right beside. Like, it was so lucky that it, because you gotta imagine, like, I don't know if whoever's not been in the Yarra, there's like wood next to it, and there's like gaps, and it didn't go down one of the gaps. Like, it could have easily went in the Yarra, and I wouldn't. That's like a $600 thing. Like,
$600 tooth.
Well, I got it's actually worth like probably $800 to $900, but I got a bit of a discount. But
why do you get a discount? Because you
just talk my way into it.
Oh, God, you talk shit. Righto, cool. So just making a little bit more serious note, we want to know, the listeners want to know a little bit about you, Greggy. What, you got a partner, you're at uni.
I've got a fiance.
Your fiance?
Yeah.
You do have a fiance.
Popped the question last April. Which beautiful is, Jakara.
How did you do that? Jakara, shout out Jakara.
Jakara, very, very beautiful lady. I popped the question in, she's from Sunshine Coast, so she grew up in Nambour, which is close to...
It's not
to
the Sunshine Coast, you got to say what she says. It's a sunny coast.
whatever it is, Queensland. It's Queensland, right?
It's Queensland.
So she grew up in Nambour, but loves her surfing. Yep. Like, she's a big beach girl. Her dad, shout out Mark Brady, absolute legend, plays in the Australian over 65s. He got selected the other day, Australian over 65s.
Cricket team.
Side. Yep. He's already played in the over 65 Ashes. They call it the Grey Ashes.
Do you reckon you'd shed out some Arrow cricket?
Oh, mate, that's actually a great idea.
That's great.
On the pod. Actually, get him down. Like, mate, 50% ambassador, mate. Get him on.
Hey, shh. Don't tell him on that.
Mate, get him on. He's
10%.
He's a very good sportsman. He's a great golfer. I think he plays off about 3 or 4.
So same as us.
Yeah. Mate, I will say, I halved him one time in a match.
Did you?
Biggest achievement of my life. He's a gun. He's a very good player.
Was he pissed?
No, he wasn't. It was at Maroochy River in Sunny Coast. Very good course. Yep. Shout out Maroochy River. And we're playing there. And it was a bit of a windy conditions. So I think he used that as an excuse. But I had to hold like a 20-footer to halve the match on the last
hole.
And I drained it. Yeah. I was very happy with that.
That's clutch.
Anyway, sorry. I've kind of gone off the tangent there.
Golf again.
Yeah.
love golf.
So she grew up in Sunny Coast. Her dad's the GM at Noosa Springs Golf Club, which is where we're having our wedding, ironically, next April.
Yeah. Open invite?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone get down there. First April. April Fools.
April Fools.
So she loves the Sunny Coast. So I flew her up there. I talked to her sister, Summer. Shout out Summer, who organized a bit of a engagement kind of party with all her family. And I took her to a secret beach in the Noosa National Park. So it's like a little beach that we've been to 100 times. Where it's like, there's no real path to it. You have to kind of like make your own way down the cliffs and whatnot. Like a little opening. Got down on my knee and off we went.
You obviously asked the old man first.
Yep. Yeah, he was happy as Larry. I actually asked Mark and Sharon, her parents, when we were over in England at Windsor Castle. So we had a tour of Windsor Castle and I asked them straight after when we were at dinner.
And said yes.
Yeah, and they said absolutely. And then probably a year later, it took me a long time because through COVID and whatnot, it was hard to get up to Queensland. I wanted to do it in Queensland.
Yep.
It was hard to get up to Queensland and actually get it done. So ended up doing it April 28, I think it was. 27, 28.
Good memory.
Well, you have to remember these things, mate.
True.
She keeps you.
Whitney tells me when things are happening. She's the boss.
Jakara keeps a tight ship.
Yeah. So what does life look like right now? Where are you living? What are you doing?
Literally yesterday, I finished my last assignment for my degree.
What are you studying?
I'm studying law.
Law?
Here we go. I'm not studying law anymore. I've studied law.
So you're smart, yeah?
Nah. I pretend to be.
Yep.
Finished that. And look, I'm working at SLF Lawyers at the moment in the city. Shout out
Enjoying
SLF.
That?
Yeah, great. Great culture. Yep. Really good workplace. The managing partners and my bosses are really good. They look after you. It's not like the typical law firm where they're riding you like a horse and, you know, working your ridiculous hours. It's quite a good balance.
Do they look after you last night? Finished uni?
Charles Amped, who is my my boss.
Yep.
He did. He looked after me last night. Bought me a cheeky cigar.
Carried on a bit.
A couple of cheeky Japanese scotches up in the...
So where were you? So tell everyone, what is it, a private club?
It's called Candela Nuvo in 2 Queen Street, level 12.
We're not shouting them out.
No sponsorship at all.
Nope.
Don't go there, guys. Beautiful spot. Looking over Yarra and... Charles was kind enough to invite me over there to celebrate.
So you didn't, as typical Greggy fashion, didn't pay a thing.
Yeah.
You just got everyone else to buy something.
Who bought the beers today?
Yeah. Who did buy the beers today?
It wasn't me.
No one bought the beers because Bendigo Ale. Too good.
You're a fucking professional, mate. This wouldn't be your first podcast.
No, this is not my first podcast. It's nah, my great. Second. I think.
But, nah, that's yeah. So, like, you've talked about life right now. I've got a thing called practical legal training that starts on July 18, which you need to do to actually get admitted as a lawyer. And then I'll be admitted towards the end of the year. I think it's November or December. And then I will hopefully start a grad position at SLF. Yeah, so that's me. Look, yeah, got a fiance, beautiful Jakara. We're getting married in April next year.
You got a dog?
We got a dog, little Ollie. Dog?
Shout out what is Ollie. It? What is it?
He's a Murray River Retriever, which makes a lot of sense because I love the Murray River.
There you go.
Obviously, home. I grew up in Shepparton, but the home is definitely a chicken line for me.
Chicana Ave. Shout out.
Chicana
Ave. So, we have a golden retriever, me and Whitney, and we often joke that it's just a golden.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't retrieve shit, right? Yours is a Murray River Retriever. And does it retrieve?
Oh, retrieves. Mate, it the does. Only thing he fucking does when he gets out of the house is fucking retrieve.
So, Merv...
You tell him what you want, he'll get it.
Merv, our dog, it's broken. I last with so many times and we get a refund. He's a
dopey old Merv.
He is, and he looks like, you know how the koalas eat those gum leaves? And he looks
that's
like...
such a good analogy.
He looks like...
That is spot on.
He just barked. Legit, just barked. He goes, you talking about me?
Yeah. No, Merv is... No, that's actually... I've actually tried to come up with an analogy about what Merv looks like. He is genuinely...
A koala.
A koala is high on eucalyptus.
Yep, 100%. So, we talked about Jakara. What does she do? Who is she?
She's graduated as a nurse. So, she's in a grad role at the moment at Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne.
Beautiful.
Which is a very, very good role. Like, she was top of her class.
She's the breadwinner.
Oh, she's absolutely the breadwinner at the moment. Yeah. I'm peanuts.
At the moment, you're saying?
Well, I'm definitely going to surpass.
Oh.
At one point.
Is that Ari McGregor coming out again? Oh, my God. It has not changed.
Oh, darn.
I've tried
to hide it so
no,
well.
No, yeah, look. You've just... All right, keep going. I'm
just spitting facts. All right.
No, shut up. What is she doing?
She's at Royal Children's Hospital. Which is a very prestigious role because it's quite difficult. They only take, I think, 80 or something nursing students out of a whole entire year. And, like, you can imagine the amount of applicants that they would get. It's ridiculous. So she's very good. She did very, very well throughout her uni to get that role. And she's killing at the moment there as well. Like, I absolutely love her. She works long hours, works well, and she loves her job too. Like,
that's good.
Takes on extra shifts when they're there. Loves it.
Legend of a chick.
Mm.
Except when she goes to order coffee at, is it Bean Squeeze or Busy Bean in Geelong?
Bean Squeeze.
If you're listening to Jakara, make your mind up before you get there, all right?
She goes up there and offers a bloody flat white mocha latte, fucking whatever it is.
Is it real coffee or... I had to come over and have a stone of wood just to...
And then she ordered the attendant to get a dog biscuit for fucking Merv as well.
Mate,
we need it.
No, she's so funny. She actually makes me laugh. She's absolute the chamois. The producer Whitney wants to share it at the Shamrock because they start saying.
But I wasn't there. For this. Greggy wasn't there.
So Greggy's overseas in England. So he invites Jakara up. Weapon. She drives up by herself.
I don't know how the fuck she made it.
I've got a funny story. After sucks. So anyway, she comes up. Unreal. Great time. We go out for lunch. Chamois starts serving palmies at 12 o'clock.
Shout out Chamois, best palmies.
How many palmies? 101 different palmies. Yeah.
Best palmies in Australia.
It's 11:52 and she goes, I'm going up. I'm going to order. And Whitney's like, they open at 12 to go. Anyway, she's standing there at the line and the person's like, we take orders at 12. All right, she comes here back after 3 minutes, right? It's like 11:57 or whatever it is. She goes back up. I'm ready to order my palmy. And the bloke's like, we open at 12. She comes here back.
She goes, can I put my order in?
Can I put my order in now? And then you cook her
at 12.
Anyway, me and Whit, because me and Whit are pretty chill. So we're like, we're hung as.
Yeah.
We're like, and she's there and all she wanted is palmy. Yeah, gets all the coffee. Anyway, bloke comes back.
Comes back with a can of milk.
Wrong milk.
She needs her almond milk.
She wants almond milk. Anyway, funny. So anyway, we have our lunch, all sweet, and we're like, I'll see you, Jakara. Like, all right. She drives off. Me and Whit get in the car, pack a car, leave a Chuka, come back to Geelong. No joke. An hour and a half later. We drive through Rochester. which is half an hour from Echuca, guess who we see? Takara doing laps of Rochester. There is nothing in Rochester except a footy ground and a bloody, what is there? A servo.
No, there's a Steel Motors who can't spell motorcycles.
Oh, what is it? What is it? It says
motorcycles.
Motorcycles.
There's a fucking full steel motorcycle plate. Wait, it's like steel, yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Mate, and...
Does that just sound like Rochester?
They've got a full sign, like they've got a full proper big sign that literally says motorcycles. Doesn't have
Rochester motorcycles. Just Google it.
It's fucking hilarious.
That just sums up Roger. Anyway, she's too, like, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And she's just turning around. And I, like, they drive past. Car
broken down here.
Yeah, thought the car.
She was driving a little Astra. So
Astra. So you drive past her and it's Takara, and she's like, just like loving life.
Yeah.
Driving through Rochester, and I ring her. I'm like, "You're all right." She's like, "Yeah, I'm just looking through Rochester." And I'm like, "All right, each their own."
You gotta imagine Central Victoria is the flattest place. And there's no fucking mountains, nothing. No. You're literally looking at farmland, and you're looking at, you know, a little servo.
You waste literally. You save a bit of petrol driving into Rochester though. It's an absolute hole, mate. Just shock and joint.
That's one of Banger's gags.
It actually was. Shout out, Banger. Absolutely. So going on from that, when we were 21, the 21st come around.
My 21st.
Your 21st come around. I was lucky enough to do a speech that we both cannot remember.
No, can't remember for the life of me.
Absolutely.
No one recorded it. No. Nothing. And there was probably 120, 130 people
good
there.
In the shed, like it was humming.
130 people there, like listening, and you could have said anything. Yeah. I would not remember.
I think I said that Takara tamed the dragon.
Oh, you did
four
say
four times.
Mm.
And I think everyone's like, "Yeah, we heard that, Leighton." And I was like, "Yeah."
And Takara, I knew Takara for 2 months before that.
Yeah.
Literally asked her to be my girlfriend 2 months before my 21st. And you're sitting there saying how much of a fucking player I was beforehand.
Yeah.
Player. That's not good.
No.
That's
but not good. Look where you are now. I actually think that I was the one that concreted, like, cemented that relationship.
Takara's, I mean, I had to hold on to Takara, unfortunately. Like,
yeah. Unfortunately? What?
No, but like, you know, you're young. I was, 21 when I met her. That's normally the time, like 21 to 26. You just do your own thing, you know. You don't. I had to hold on to her. She's just too good. So,
When you introduced me to her, I thought, she must be
punching.
Well, I don't know. She must be drinking it all the time. She must be drinking a heap. No.
No, she's well out of my league. I'll happily say that.
Yeah. Oh, I'll happily say that as well.
She's a weapon.
But there was an incident that happened that night that did involve me, but I played it off like it wasn't my fault.
No, I don't know too much about this story, but I can kind of, from an outsider's perspective, tell how it happened, if you like.
Yeah, go for it. Yep.
So from what I heard, it involves my dad as well.
Yes, it does.
So hello. My 21st was at my house in Shepparton. And obviously being Shepparton, quite rural, there's, you know, in your shed, you've got, you know, mowers and, you know, pesticide, bloody... So this is what it's
Roundup.
Like. Exactly. So you've got your can of Roundup that still had a little bit left in it, but no one knew that.
No.
So some dickheads decided to pour it. Like, it was free piss at my 21st, obviously.
Oh, geez, I took advantage as well as that free piss.
A lot of free piss there.
Yep.
People have taken like 10 cans and tipped it into this bloody Roundup can.
I don't know.
Thinking that there was nothing in there.
Don't know who drank it.
So we won't know who drank it yet. Anyway. Some bloke has started drinking it. My dad's gone over to him and gone, "What the fuck are you doing, mate? There's bloody poison in there. There's Roundup in there. What are you doing?" And this bloke's literally shat himself and gone, "Oh shit." Leighton's kind of seen this from the outline, from the outskirts. And dad's gone over to Leighton, like being good mates. And he's gone over and said, "Look at this fucking idiot drinking Roundup. He's drinking this fucking drink out of your Roundup can." And then Leighton's just sitting there going, "Oh shit," because Leighton had been drinking out of it 10 minutes
earlier. I was the one that poured all the piss in it and started drinking it. I was sucking on the end of it, like, oh mate, like for about 20 minutes. I'm like, "Hey, what's this?" And I was like, absolute king. Anyway, Kama comes over and he's like, "What about this dickhead? He's drinking poison." Anyway, I go around the corner at Greggy's, no grass or rocks, and I thought, I'm just going to have to do it. Stuck the fingers down the throat and just went, got it all up and continued.
Get it all out. It didn't get into your system. No harm, no foul.
No, exactly right. You had a bit of a stint at a Premier Club.
Yeah, I had a year at Carlton.
And no, like, I'm not taking the piss. It actually went really well.
It was very unexpected. I went there genuinely thinking I was just me threes. It was close to my house. I lived in Preston at the time.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, I just went there. I was like, I'm going to do a full preseason. I'm going to train Tuesdays and Thursdays, have a real crack because I'm only at uni at the moment. You know, I've got no other commitments. Have a crack. And, you know, it worked out well. Like, I had great coaches there. Warren Ayres, absolute superstar of the game. Really, really good coaches. And ended up playing, a couple of games in the ones. Got a flight over to the National Championships for 2020.
Yeah, was like, that unreal or what?
Yeah, it was a great experience. Because you got players there like, you know, Braden Stephian, Evan Golvis, Xavier Crone, like these guys were very good cricketers. And being amongst them, just, even though I wasn't even really playing, it was a good experience.
What about talking about those blokes? We've actually played cricket with and against some, like, unbelievable cricketers.
Yeah, our age group coming up, like, through the pathway that you got through under-18s. Well, we were in the under-18 state championships against Bayside Breakers. They had...
Yeah, in the final?
Yeah. Yeah. They had Will Bukowski, Wes Agar, you know, Damon Egan, all quite good players.
Which are, like, Premier Ones, Victoria... And like, Australia. Will's play for Australia.
Yes, it's cool. And then in our side, like, you know, you have Xavier Crone, Braden Stephian, you know, like yourself obviously plays some pretty good cricket. There's plenty of players, and I'm missing out plenty. Kyle Winter-Irving, very good player.
Ridiculous.
Like, we ended up beating him that day. Like, you know, pretty good to go back.
We
got
gassed up too.
Braden Stephian made 99.
Oh, no. What was
the partnership with you?
I'll never forget. You had a partnership. No. Never forget.
Opening the bat, Braden Stephian.
Me and Steppo opened the bat. Share it to Steppo. Good man, smashes balls. This is one of the best stories I ever tell in my life. Open the bat together. He's on 99, and I'm on...
Facing Wes Agar, bowling gas.
I'm 14, and I'm like shivering in my boots. I'm like, this bloke bowls anything near my pads, is going to hit me in the legs, and I'm going to go here.
It's going to blow off.
So anyway, he's going to blow me fucking front doggle. Anyway, Steppo tells me, before the ramp was invented...
This is 2015. Like, this is a long time ago.
Wes runs in and bowls thunderbolts, and Steppo goes, I'm going to ramp him. I said, what the fuck is a ramp?
To be fair, he's on 80 at that point. Chasing 130.
Ramps him, 6.
Yeah.
Frankston, over the fence. And he goes, he's going to bounce me now. I'm just going to, like, give him a little paddle over the top. Anyway, next ball, paddles him over the top, 99. I walk up the other end. I said, oh, Steppo. Shout out to Steppo. Not much going on up top. I said, don't hit it long and straight. They could put two out. You'll get caught.
Just do a single.
Guess what he does? Loads up. Hits a 99 down. Deep long on the throat. Out. 99 state championships. Anyway, go on to... We nearly shit the bed.
Yeah, we lost, like, you know, we were none for 115. You and Steppo, you were on 16 when he went out.
Yeah.
So Leighton's opened the bat with Steppo. We're on none for 115. Steppo's on 99. I've never seen anything like it. Like, that was some of the best batting I've ever seen in my life. You said, and you coming back telling me that he talked you through every shot.
He did.
Ridiculous.
No, like, he just told me.
He's
like,
a talent. That man is a very good cricket player.
Yeah, he just told me. He's like, I'm going to hit this for 6. I'm like,
And he's not facing, like, idiots. Facing Wes Agar.
He was bowling bolts, mate.
Mate, it was fast.
Absolute
and
bolts.
And the guy from the other end, I don't know his name was, but the guy from the other end was bowling quick as well.
They had a few good, like, I remember their keeper had,
Bayside,
like,
Breakers, like, they're a good side. And under 18, yeah. Like, they knew, like,
they all played district cricket. We're all from the country.
Yeah. They had someone, Ernie. His last name's Ernie. He plays with St Kilda now. He bowls quick as well.
Yeah, right.
He was bowling first chain. And then he bowls
gas. Like, some of the shit was going on. And we were just like, didn't we sledge the absolute shit out of
him? We sledged them after we won.
Yeah.
We were sledging them the night after.
I'll never forget, like, here's a bit of, like, Will's probably not going to listen to this, but Zave Crone has Will Bukowski's number, and we rang him, and we're like...
That night, we're pissed.
You are shit. You're no good.
To his credit, he handled it well, didn't he? Like,
but you know what?
18-year-old dickheads.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Like, stuff being him, we're living the life. We played 9 holes of golf. What, like, what's he doing?
Bowen Valley.
You know what I mean? At Royal Bowen. Like, we're drinking beers right now from Bendigo Parallel. Like, he's not.
No shame in your
body. He's not
segue,
doing that. No, he's not doing that. Like, we are. But that's what happens. So, moving on a little bit, we have a new segment, which goes on from the truck theme, which is a truck stop, which is...
We haven't even explained why it's called the truck stop. Right. Should we go into that?
It's called the truck stop because of two reasons. The first of all is, you go to a truck stop, can you imagine all the truckies get out of their cabs and they Imagine the yarns that they spin to each other.
Absolute chewing.
What garbage. Mm. What just shit. But there's another reason. At Central Park, we have a few blokes that play cricket that are like thick.
At North.
At North, sorry. At Central North. Park. Yeah, sorry. No one there was
thick. North Geelong Cricket Club, shout
out. North, yeah, North Geelong. They were thick. We are thick. A lot of us.
If we put together an 11 that was only made up of truck guys, like myself and you.
Like, built like a truck.
Built like Coke cans.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
just solid, right?
Yeah.
We would still win the flag.
Yeah. I did not say that.
I can say it because I'm not involved.
But that's what the thing is. The truck stop. Like, trucks talking to trucks. Trucks talking about people at truck stops.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Nice.
That is what we're talking about.
I think the other aspect of it is, you know, guys who, when they were younger, good sportsmen, like, you know, can play sport, play cricket, play footy. And then as they get older and they, you know, discover beer and, you know, KFC, they start getting a bit bigger and, you know, you turn into trucks. But you can still play cricket.
Yeah.
Like, we're still cricketers.
All right, the Empty the Trailer segment, which is going to feature on all of our podcasts, which is going to talk about, like, current things that are happening in the world.
Specifically, it's probably sport world, I would say.
Sport world, but depends who we've got on. We might have business owners, depends, like interest rates, house owners, things. But what I want to talk about today is, I want to talk about Stephen May and the Melbourne Footy Club.
This is recent. This happened a couple of days ago.
Yep. I'm a Melbourne supporter.
Massive. So Stephen May, for context, Stephen May has been suspended for 1 week by Melbourne.
But has Melcham as well?
Melcham can't get a game anyway.
Fucking sucks. True.
No, he's been injured. He's been injured for the last couple of days. And there's rumours going around that Melcham's off his head every fucking weekend. Like, you know, not trying to defame him, but I've heard this from other sources that he's, you know, off his head on bloody, you know, alcohol and whatnot every week whilst he was injured.
But what I understand is if these blokes were playing country footy, this probably would not make the news.
Absolutely wouldn't.
So why does it matter?
You know, when you're in the AFL spotlight, you've basically... Suppose
that, yeah.
You've entered into a, you know, an implied contract that you have to abide by certain rules. Like, you get paid a lot of money.
Mm.
You play at the professional level. They expect you to be professional. It's not... I mean, I don't agree with it, but, you know, it's the way it is.
It is.
Unfortunately. But, yeah, it's a pretty situation. Like, you don't normally get teammates having a crack at each other, especially if they've just won a grand final. I mean, albeit Melcham wasn't in the final 22, which is probably, that apparently is the reason why the fight started.
Well, there's like seven different stories.
Mm. Yeah, exactly right. There's so much going around, but you know, with social media these days, you don't know what to believe. Who fucking knows? And no one will ever know. I mean, it's Chinese whispers inside the footy club and then coming out.
So. But things like, me and you've got on the piss before.
Have we?
Maybe a couple of times. And we've like had a bit of a spar.
Mm, but I'll fucking put you to bed.
Yeah, you've belted the shit out of me every time. But like what happens after that? We don't...
You shake hands.
We don't bloody open the shit news.
The difference is that obviously Melcham and May, when they had... There was obviously animosity there. There was something said.
There was something going on.
Melcham had a crack at him, punched him, and then, you know... But we've never, ever had a fight where I've actually pissed you off. Like, we've just been mucking around. And I said, oh, fuck you up.
So they must have been going.
Well, apparently, did you hear about the sledge that apparently got set?
No.
This is all bloody, you know, no one knows if it's true. But apparently May said to Melcham that if you played in the grand final last year, we would have lost. Even though they'd won by 70 points. So he's saying that he's that bad that he would have dragged him back. Melcham, first of all, that's a dig that he didn't play the granny, which is pretty harsh.
Yeah, yeah.
Second, it's saying that he's that bad that he would have reversed the fucking result. So, you know, you probably don't let that get to you. So it's bad for Melcham, but it's a pretty fucking stiff sledge.
It is.
He's a fucking AFL footballer. He's a good footballer.
Yeah. What about Goody? Has he got it under control?
loves the Portsy Hotel. What was it? Portsy Hotel?
I don't know.
I think it was... What's the other joint down there?
You're the one telling the story, but nobody.
No, you know how he was partying with, like, I've no...
Oh, yeah.
He was partying with the crew after they went, issues with it whatsoever.
No way, I reckon that's
Sorrento Hotel, that's where it was, so.
I reckon that's, like, that's what they should do.
Absolutely. And if people had issues, it was just bullshit.
They did.
You know, there's rumours going around that he doesn't have control of players. Like, you know, they've ride on the coattails of their granny last year, but who fucking knows, mate?
But you can't have control of a squad of 40-something players.
Mm. Mm.
No, I mean, yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true, but you can have control of your core 20.
True. Like you group, and you think,
especially in Melbourne, you've got a core 20. Like, you've got players there that are stalwarts, and they know it.
You have yeah, exactly right.
It's not hard to keep control of those
players. No.
They're leaders, and they've won a premiership now. They know what they're doing. So, look, it's an interesting situation. It'll continue to develop in the next couple of weeks, I would assume.
What about carrying on from that, control? LIV or LIV Golf?
Mm.
Like, does the PGA...
Like you have done your research on some recent events, haven't you?
No, well, what I'm trying to say is, like, I know we're going back to golf again, and people might hate golf, but we're talking...
Whoever has golf, fuck them, don't listen. Fuck off.
Turn it off. Catch you later. No, but if you don't like golf, listen to this, because we are talking money.
Oh, ridiculous.
Like,
Greg
money.
Greg Norman spearheaded this.
But it's not just... like, yeah, obviously it's him, but where's the money coming from?
Saudi Arabia government.
So they're funding the whole thing.
It's the Prince of Saudi Arabia. I don't know the name.
So he loves golf?
All money. All money.
He's just like, here's the money, you make
it.
Well,
he knows that it's probably going to make a bit of money too. I mean, he's throwing ridiculous amounts in.
So figures towards Woods, DeChambeau.
Well, so Dustin Johnson signed, DeChambeau signed.
Dustin Johnson.
Kevin Na's signed. Royal McIlroy turned it around. He turned it down.
Did tell you.
Scheffler turned it down. Like, some of these good players turned it down, which is, you know, respect to them, that they don't need the money. But, you know, these guys are getting paid for one round of golf the amount that you would get if you won the Masters. So, yeah. Like, this is a ridiculous amount of money.
But, like, they were offering Woods, what, 9 figures?
Yeah. So you're talking 9 figures. That's, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
And he said no.
And he said no.
And he's just become
a billionaire.
Top 3 sportsmen?
Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tiger Woods.
Are the only three people who have earned $1 billion from playing sport. And he's turned that down.
Not earned $1 billion, become billionaires. Yeah.
And so, he's turned that down.
Yeah, he's turned. Look, he obviously doesn't need it if he's already a billionaire. But like, if I'm Tiger Woods, mate, I'm sorry, but I'm taking that money. I don't care what reputation you get out of it. He's already won. 30 majors.
But they left him in the lurch when he was crook.
Yeah. When he was, you know, his mental health was down, he was acting up. They golf kind of depression. Disowned him. Golf depression. How can you golf depression be that good?
I know. I don't understand.
He just had normal depression.
He just had normal. Yeah, poor bastard.
But no, you know, like he acted out a little bit, and I don't think the PGA is back at all. Like, you know, they kind of disowned him for a couple of years, and then he came back and they treated him like he was the fucking golden child again. It's like, you know, if I was Tiger Woods and I got an offer of, they're saying it's upwards of $500 million to go play. I'm taking that in a second.
I feel like the PGA is like that old bloke you see at the golf club. He's got his old, like, what, tight, great sound. He's got his old tightless clubs. He's got his old drivers. He's had them since 30 years. He plays every day, plays the same shots. When he gets into trouble, he pulls out the little 3-wood, pumps it out.
Plays percentage golf.
Percentage golf. Like, he's 70 and he's playing off 9.
LIV is the young kid who whacks the ball.
All they want to do is tee it high and hit bombs.
Yeah. Sounds like a bit like Greggy.
Sly straw, who cares?
Yeah, no.
Tack greens.
It seems like they're trying to shake up the way that golf's viewed in the public eye. Like, it's kind of like the setup, for context, the setup is you got 48 players, you got 12 teams of 4, each team has a team name. The top 12 players they've recruited have their own name. You know, Ian Poulter, Kevin Na,
Massive
Dustin Johnson.
Names.
Huge. Like, I think they've got like 5 of the top 20 in the world playing in this comp. So it's not, they haven't just got, you know, randoms playing golf. Like, this is good stuff.
How I see it is like the IPL of golf.
No, 100%. That is a great analogy.
100%. The IPL of golf, but like on steroids.
Well, it's just, it's not a new format. So that's where the analogy stops. Like,
yeah.
The 2020's like IPL is kind of a new format.
Yeah.
But they're trying to shake up the way it's viewed, because the only people who really watch golf at the moment are the purists. Like,
they are 100%.
People who actually enjoy, like, I watch it here and there, but I don't sit down and watch 6 hours of golf. It is boring.
Do you think, this is no joke, do you think they've gone back 20 years or whatever it was since Shooter McGavin lost to Happy Gilmore?
There needs to be Happy Gilmore too, by the way.
Do you think, that's another story, do you think that they've watched that and thought, you know what, this is what's going to get views?
Mm.
Fast golf, like people carrying on.
Name a person who hasn't seen Happy Gilmore. Name a person who hasn't watched PGA. Much easier to see someone who hasn't watched PGA. So true. It gets a true. Lot more. I mean, yeah, it is a movie, but you know there is an entertainment factor to golf that needs to be addressed, and I think LIV is attempting to do that. I don't know if they can do it well. I mean, it's in its formative stages, but
it's going to be interesting.
Very interesting to see how it goes. And Greg Norman, the Australian, spearheading it.
I know, isn't he? And he's just like off his head. Like that's he's talking about LIV. This is what I want.
Mm.
This is him.
Mm. Yeah, and he's got the backing in Saudi Arabia government. You cop that. No, they got a bit of coin. Sandy,
the boys are just throwing dosh catcher. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they love it.
Wonder if they could like LIV cricket or something.
Mm.
Nah, I'm just joking. But no,
there needs to be like there's a lot of money in golf in PGA, but ridiculous. It's only if you win, right? So it's all based on. But this, what they're doing is they're paying them a contract like AFL, regardless whether you win or not, you get paid this amount. And that's the attractive side of it. Like
you've so got you a get secure bonuses amount. If you win?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it that much. But I'm assuming there would be some sort of prize money. Absolutely, there'd be prize money. But at least you're guaranteed. Like, you know, if you're Bailey Smith who goes in the weekend, you know you're getting paid a certain match fee. Yeah. Whereas in golf, you don't know that. If you don't make the cut, you don't get paid.
Yeah, you're done.
So I think that's
what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what that's
money.
That's the way.
But love golf. Anyway, right, that might wrap us up for the second podcast of the Truck Stop. Thank you very much, Braden McGregor, for joining us.
Any other week.
Thank you very much. And thank you to Bendigo Pale Ale, Brooks Brewery, for shouting some beers. And finally, if you would like some cricket gear, obviously Arrow Cricket shouts out this podcast, you can use the code ARROW10 on our website to receive 10% off our cricket gear. Thank you very much for listening.